Blog Talk Radio.
But this is a beautiful day.
What we used to call it, it's crisp. It's a crisp day. There it is. It's a crisp day. All I'm doing is saying, Lord, please, though, I had such beautiful blooms on my apple and pear tree and apple trees. And I'm like, oh, we got frost. So I don't know if I'm going to have any apples this year or not, or pears this year or not. But if I don't, I know next year's crop going to be beautiful, because it happens every other year sometimes. The weather gets all crazy and the fruit don't come in like it should, but God has got it and God's in charge. And so I'm all good with it. So we're getting ready to get started this morning. Mother Valerie will be coming to you from my Old Testament word today, and it is Judges chapter 13. And chapter 14, and I'll be back in the book of Proverbs, Psalms, and our New Testament word, which is where our title is coming from. And our title is coming out of Luke chapter 17. And, you know, our title this morning is, "For Indeed the Kingdom of God is Within You." The Kingdom of God is within you. And, you know, we will understand that as we go through the Old Testament, you know, God's thing we need, it's already in us to do what's right or to do what's wrong. And we want to do what's right in the sight of God. Man is man, but God is the one that, can we say mother? God is the one that determines our final destination. So it's your
Amen.
Destination up, or is your destination down? You know, as we were talking on yesterday about Lazarus, and not the Lazarus Jesus raised from the dead, but Lazarus the beggar who had sores to the point where the dogs ministered to him. You think about that. You are in so much, you're so poor that you're getting crumbs from the rich man's table with the dogs, and you have sores, and you know, you think about it, probably dirty, and nobody is thinking about ministering to you. Nobody's thinking about speaking to you. And the ones that treat you better than mankind is a dog. You think that through. How he was ministered to, the dogs would come over and lick his sores, you know, trying to heal him, trying to help him. The dogs would. And when he died, and the rich man died, the rich man went to hell. And the poor man, this Lazarus, went to the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man is looking up and seeing Lazarus all clean and healthy and handsome. the man that he would have been and could have been, but was not. He was in heaven. And the rich man is down in hell, burning, thirsty for water, just a drop of water. And Abraham said, no, he can't, because there's this wide schism between heaven and hell, and nobody can cross over the two. You can't come down, and you can't come up. And he said, well, can you please tell me, go, to let him come back and tell my brothers? He said he ain't going to tell. No, they didn't do right. Before, why would they do right? After, the dead speaks to them. No. You know, we all have opportunity because the kingdom of God is within us to do right and to do wrong. And so it goes this way. He didn't do right. And his brothers was on the same path to join him in hell. So we have to be very careful because we don't want to join anybody in hell. Because you don't know who's in hell and you don't know who's in heaven. Because I was at a women's conference on Saturday, as I spoke of. And the bottom line is, as you think about the stuff, that they tell them who you are. Who I am is a child of God. Who I am is a mighty woman of God. Who I am is faithful. And that's who we want to be. Whatever it is God called you to be. Loving, kind, those fruits of the Spirit, whatever you are. I have self-control. You know, all these things, whatever those fruits are, do you have them? Is your kingdom right with God? You know, and so we got to stop and take a minute and do some self-evaluation. And sometimes when we evaluate, it's not pretty. It's like, oh, my God, I got a lot of work to do. And God's like, yes, you do, but I'll help you. Hallelujah. So anyway, I'm giving it over to Mother Valerie. Mother Valerie, will you pray us in, and I turn it over to you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Judges 13:1. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. The Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. A lot of times, God don't wait to judge you. You get judgment right then and there. And he judged the children of Israel, gave them over to the Philistines for 40 years. Now, there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of Benites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren, had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed now, you're barren, have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine of similar drink and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive, bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be called a Nazarite to God from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me. And his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. Said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine, no similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. Well, the child should be called a Nazarite to God, from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, oh, my Lord, please let the man of God who you sent come to us again. Teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me. So Manoah rose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, are you the man who spoke to this woman? And he said, I am. Manoah said, now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his birth? So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. all that I command her, let her observe. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us attain you, and we will pair a young goat for you. Angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I'll not eat your food, but if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you? Angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. He did a wonderful thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their face to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that it was the angel of the Lord. Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said to him, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from my hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew. The Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Manah Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. My goodness, they had seen God's face. Life lesson. You are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Why does God so often choose a childless woman to give birth to someone of great spiritual importance? It's perhaps because such people are broken, and brokenness is God's requirement for maximum usefulness. Life lesson. Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child. In the midst of a disobedient nation, Manoah and his wife stand out as faithful people of God. They sought God's counsel on how to rear their child in difficult times, and God answered their prayers. Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. How many of our ordinary encounters are actually appointments with God's heavenly ambassadors? We will never know this side of heaven. That is one reason why we must treat every encounter as a divine appointment. Answers to life's questions. It says barren, Judges 13. Though things have changed in modern times, to be childless in ancient Israel was a terrible hardship. The barren woman was considered cursed by God. My goodness, if you couldn't have a child, they thought you were cursed by God. Children are considered to be a blessing, a true blessing. So if you can't have children, they said you are cursed by God. That's what they thought. The very meaning of the word barren, betray, is dark consequences. It signifies that the family would be uprooted, that there would be no descendants, no successors. After all, children were considered God's blessing, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. So are the children of one's use. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They should not be ashamed. Of course, without children, there would be no one to care for the woman and her husband in their old age. God has commanded the young people to care for your parents when you get old. That's in the Bible. There would be no grandchildren to delight them. The family line would end to her disgrace. It was in this condition that the angel of the Lord found Manoah's wife, a failure by the standards of her culture. Isn't that amazing? Just because you can't give birth, you're considered a failure, a woman was. Yet his wonderful words changed her life. Now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. From one moment to the next, God changed her situation completely. Perhaps you, like Manoah's wife, are wholeheartedly praying for a child. Or maybe there are other things that God promised you that are on your heart. Perhaps a spouse, a better financial situation, or even good health. No doubt it's difficult to watch as other people are so abundantly blessed with everything you pray so hard for. And you may question why God made it so easy for them when they don't even appreciate what they have. Yet please understand, this isn't a competition. This isn't about who gets the blessing first. Rather, it's about who will honor God with what they have been given. God honored Manoah's wife with the birth of Samson, a man who would be very important to Israel. Angel of the Lord declared he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. You know, they had been in the hand of the Philistines as a judgment for 40 years. There were many other barren women throughout the Bible who were blessed to bear powerful men of God as well. Sarah, who gave birth to Isaac, Rebecca, who bore Jacob, Rachel, who was Joseph's mother, Hannah, the mother of the prophet Samuel, Elizabeth, who delivered John the Baptist, among others. All of these men had a powerful part in God's plan in the fulfillment of God's promise. Although you're not yet received your request, God knows how deeply you long for it, and he's providing it for you in the manner that will show you his great and mighty power. God always works in the most adverse circumstances to build your faith and your relationship with him. So instead of despairing, ask God to show you his will, help you to be obedient to his plan. Make knowing him the object of your pursuit. Then thank God that when he fulfills his promise to you, you won't take it for granted. You know the priceless nature of the gift God's given you, and you honor him with it every day of your life. If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering. This was what Manoah's wife was telling him. The Lord does not desire to kill us, but to bless us. And he will bless us if we will take to heart his gracious promise, obey his word by the power of his spirit. Chapter 14. Now Samson went down to Timnah, saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I've seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me as a wife. Then his father and his mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistine? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. But his father and mother did not know that it was the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. He tore the lion apart as one would have tore apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he'd done. He went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey was in the carcasses of the lion. He took some of it in his hand, went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcasses of the lion. So his father went down to the woman, and Samson gave a feast there, for the young men used to do so. And it happened when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Samson said to them, let me pose a riddle to you. If you correctly solve and explain it to me within the 7 days of the feast, that I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 change of clothing. But if you cannot explain to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments, 30 changes of clothing. They said to him, pose your riddle that we may hear it. So he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. Now for 3 days they could not explain the riddle, but it came to pass on the seventh day that they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not so? Then Samson's wife wept on him and said, You only hate me. You do not love me. You pose a riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me. And he said to her, look, I have not explained it to my father or my mother, so should I explain it to you? Now she had wept on him the 7 days while the feast lasted. It happened on the 7th day that he told her, because she pressed him so hard. Then she explained the riddle to the sons of her people. So the men of the city said to him on the 7th day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would have not solved my riddle. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. He went down to the Ashlons and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, and gave the change of clothing to those who explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back to his father's house. And Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man. My goodness. Samson was very strong. And with his wife weeping and crying, like some women can do, she got next to Samson. And he told her what the riddle was. And after he told her the riddle, she deceived him. She went and told her people the riddle. And when she told her people, they told Samson what the riddle was. And if it wasn't for that, they never would have known what's going on. But women can get things out of men, especially if a man loves a woman. And he loved her. And she kept crying and whining, you have not told me the riddle. You haven't. He said, well, I haven't told it to my mother and my father. But he finally told her the riddle, and she told it to her people. She deceived him. Samson was very, very strong because God was using him against the Philistines. And that was what that marriage was all about. God was going to use him. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Samson, the strongest man in the Bible. Sometime when I can't do things or can't lift things, I say, God, make me strong like Samson. And then I find extra strength. And I know it comes from God. In 4 months, I'll be 80 years old. So I know some things, you know, as you grow older, you can't do. But God will help you to do it if you just turn to him. Is there anything? There's nothing too hard for our God. May God add a blessing to listen of his words. God is good all the time.
Amen. Amen.
Over to Pastor.
Amen. Mother, I just want to have a brief conversation. You know, when we talk about a thorn in the side, like Paul talked about, but we never knew what Paul's thorn was, Samson's thorn was women. He had a thing for women, and women messed him up every time. You know, his wife messed him up on his wedding week. Then he gets with Delilah, and, you know, let's call her. She's got the name in the Bible. Everybody knows about a Delilah. Well, she's Delilah. She acting like Delilah, deceitful. And, you know, Delilah went off with all kind of money. And they never tell you what her consequences was. They never tell you whether she was in the temple when he tears it down. You never know what happened to Delilah. My sons and I went to Branson, and Samson was the play that was playing that year. And so we went to see it. It was very well produced and really, really good. And, you know, that Bible story helped it come alive. And you think, how can a man be so stupid? But then he was not thinking in the godly fashion he should have been as a judge. Because Samson was a judge. Many people forget that. He was a Nazarite and he was a judge. And didn't do any of the stuff he was supposed to do as a Nazarite or as a judge. You know, he was too busy chasing women. And there are many men of God that are in the same position, too busy chasing women and not doing what they're supposed to do. You know, and I saw what you read in there that his father and mother did not know that it was the Lord that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. You know, they probably were so upset and hurt that their son would choose this woman of the folks that was keeping them in bondage, that was keeping them in hardship. But he chose what he felt he loved. I don't know if he loved as much as he lusted for us. You know, and then for her to easily marry his best friend, marry his best man. Come on now. All she had to do was tell her parents, I'm married. My husband's coming back. He's mad at me right now. And so there's going to be some pretty bad consequences because of her parents giving her to another man. So we'll get to that another day, Mother. So let's get into our psalm this morning. And our psalm is the 50th psalm, starting at verse 16 through verse 23. And it says this, but to the wicked God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth? Then you hate instruction and cast my words behind you. When they say a thief, you consider with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You have your mouth to evil and your tongue flames this. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. You know, and as we talk about the temple being within us, the kingdom of God being within us, God is saying, there are those that are wicked, that are out there preaching my word, teaching my word. And, you know, I watch a gentleman on YouTube, and his show is called Smart Christian. He just like Alan Parsons, who is another Christian man that I follow. I disagree with them on a lot of stuff, but I agree with them on 97%, 98%. I agree with them, and maybe 2% I don't. And the 2% I don't is when they talk about women in ministry. You know, that we have a big schism. I do not agree with them. But, you know, when you grow up in certain denominations, that's what you're taught, and that's what they were taught. But as I go through the Bible, Mother, and as you and I have gone through the Word of God, how many times do we see women come through to help the men achieve the greatness that they need to achieve? You know, when we talk about Deborah and Jael, when we talk about Ruth, and when we talk about Esther, and as we talk about even Mary Magdalene, you know, and all these women that followed Christ way even sometimes before the disciples, come on now. You know, but we want to put women on the back burner when how many times it's women that have kept churches running. It is women and giving the offering and giving the sustenance to keep the church's doors open. Come on, we're going to just call it straight. So those are the things that we disagree on. But the thing that we do agree on is in this age, there are so many false teachers out there. So many that are taking the word of God and bastardizing it. They are changing the context and the content of what God is saying. And, you know, as I watched the Easter program at a church, I thought, oh, my God, am I at some kind of demonic concert? And it was telling the story of the death and resurrection of Christ and the time that Christ spent in hell, those 3 days, and it was brought out of more of a demonic spirit than a Holy Spirit, and that the kingdom of God was not God's kingdom, but the kingdom of that little g. It's what I felt. I didn't feel anything. Oh, it was if you were going for a show and a concert, and the lights and the smoke and all the dancing and, you know, and it was overwhelming. And I thought, oh, my, And the person said, well, I didn't know how to be a pastor. Then how did you become the pastor of this church?
My God.
How did you get in your position if you were not prepared to do the job of a pastor? So you just flying by night? You haven't been in any training, haven't been in school, haven't done anything to prepare yourself for this position? Said that what I saw of it was so overwhelming with negativity is what I felt, that I felt that it was not bringing in the spirit of God, but it was bringing in a demonic spirit, and that he missed the mark. And so I agreed with both of these pastors when it came to what they said in their shows about it. And it just, we have got to be very careful as men and women of God, what we teach, what we preach. When you, the word of God, as Mother just read, Mother was preaching, but it was not Mother preaching. It was God's word getting out and touching your soul. To tell you, Samson did something he was not supposed to do. He totally against their religion and against the word of God for that family. He gave them food from a dead lion.
My goodness.
Woo! God's word tells not to do, and he did it. So, you know, it's so many things that Samson did, but there were also good things that Samson did. God used him, and maybe God is using some of these pastors that I'm discussing to do what God needs them to do to get people in that maybe people like me, people like your mother, people like our pastor can't get in. You know, you follow after what the thing is. Where are you sown? Are you sown on good ground? Are you sown on just that really rocky surface? You know, those are things that we got to think about as we go forward with God. Are we doing it the right way? Are we doing it the world's way? And as we go into Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29 through 30, it says, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. A sound heart is light to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Oh,
amen.
Envy is rotten to the bones. Because what is envy but covetousness? And what did God's word tell us? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's anything. You know, if you wanted to put it in today's vernacular, don't cover their wife, don't cover their car, don't cover their stuff, don't cover their nanny, don't cover their gardener, don't cover anything that belongs to Mr. and Mrs. Jones, including Mrs. Jones. Come on now. We got to understand that God's word is on point. And he says in his word, he was slow to wrath has great understanding. And this is our life lesson from Dr. Stanley. God rest his awesome soul. And he says, but he was impulsive, exhausts folly. How many times my mother and I, we were just talking this morning about a young lady here in our community, 16 years old, just got 43 years in prison. Team, understand this. This child will never see the day, the light of day outside of a prison wall until she's way in her 60s. She is 16 years old. She was given 45 years, but because she's been in juvenile detention for two, she got 2 years time served. So she got 43 years. 30 years of that 43-year sentence is at 100%, meaning no parole. You can't get out in 85%. You can't get out in 75%. You have 100% of 30 years that you will be in prison, 2 years old, 30 years.
My God.
That she will be sitting behind bars, 46 years old. She'll be in prison. 46 years old, she will be in prison. She will not get out of prison until she's in her late 50s. Think that through.
Mm-hmm.
16 years old with 43 years. 59 years of her life in jail. It does not make any sense. 59 years old. 46 years of that life would have been in prison. And when you think about it, she didn't know Jesus. Didn't know anything about Jesus. Considered herself an atheist. Didn't have nothing to do with that guy. I don't know nothing about that. Know who someone is. There's people like us that need to tell you who he is. I know a man, mother, and his name is Jesus. We got to have a Mary Magdalene in our heart. I met a man, and that man took those seven demons out of her. Nicodemus thought he did it, but he didn't do anything. You know, I'm watching the show Chosen, and I know me, I probably one of these days I'm going to binge on it and watch the whole 2 years in a weekend. But right now, I just started it, and I've watched, I think, two or three shows. You know, The Calling of the Disciples and The Healing of Mary is what I've seen so far. And I tell you this, God is trying to get our attention. And we need to start listening. When every time you turn on your television, every time a news flash pops up on your phone, you hear of a child being killed by a gun. You hear of school shootings. And what did it say? He was slow to wrap his great understanding, but he was impulsive, exhaust folly. How many impulsive acts have happened in this nation of guns? And they want to, and the, honestly, this is where they hear guns and God. Know who's second. You know, God is second. If you had God first, you don't need a gun. You don't need to have an automatic weapon, a weapon of war. What do you need with a weapon of war? What do you need with it? If it's on display, if it's locked in the case, but you got it out and you're taking pictures with your family, even your children have weapons. Come on now. And we are wondering why schools are being shot up, because we've taken morality out and put guns and everything before God. Then we take out history. Because we don't want our children to know the violence and bloodshed and slavery and enslavement of a whole race of people. We don't want our children to feel bad about themselves. Well, what about the children of those that have been enslaved? You don't want them to feel good about themselves, that their family members got out of slavery and created communities, and as the communities strive, your families decided to tear them apart and to bomb them and destroy them and kill the leadership in them. But again, yes, it's horrible. Yes, it could divide, but more than likely it's going to heal, because history unknown is history repeated. What did Samson do? Did the same thing with Delilah. He did not learn from his mistakes. We have not learned from Sandy Hook. We have not learned from Columbine. We're still allowing our children to die in schools because we're choosing guns over life. Scotland, I believe it was Scotland, in the article I read, had shootings like this until they banned assault weapons. And all of a sudden, bam. When we had a ban in this nation on assault weapons, things went down. Gun violence went down. And as soon as certain people came in the office, first thing they did, because they're in bed with the NRA, took and dismantled that law. And now look at what's happened. Mother Valerie, since January, there have been approximately 21 to 22 school shootings in America.
My Lord, my Lord.
Think about that. Our babies are afraid to go to school because they don't know if they're going to die. And it's wrong. And God is trying his best to speak to us. It said, it may feel good for a short while to vent out anger at someone, but the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We just saw this young man, Ralph Ball, get shot in his face in Kansas City. All he was, 16-year-old kid, looking for his sibling, goes to the wrong house and winds up shot. Praise the Lord. His family was a faithful Christian family that probably put a hedge of protection around their son because he did not die.
Thank God.
On Friday, I'm on my way to work, Mother, and I was listening to the radio, and the woman whose house he rung her doorbell, and folks was mad. I was one of them, like, how could you not see this child bleeding and not open your door and call 911? How could you do that? And I cried like a baby all the way to work. It just did something to my soul when this woman in tears gave her interview and said that she wanted to help. She saw this child and didn't know what to do. She's on the phone with 911, and they're telling her not to do anything. The help was on the way to stay in a house that it was an active shooter, and they didn't know what was going on, not to leave her home until she finally couldn't take it because she has a woman. She was a woman of God with morals, and she said, I saw him fall. She got up, made sure her kids were safe, took them all to the basement, and she went out to help that child. And when she went out, others came out. And she said blood was all over her step where this baby had been trying to get help. And she just cried, and I cried with her. It just broke my heart because you could feel her conviction that she was a woman that loved God and loved her neighbor. And it broke her down. She couldn't go out and help this kid because she was told to stay in the house because they didn't know what was going on. And we got to stop always rushing to judgment before we know the whole story. Hallelujah. And that is the message for that. As we get into Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 37, it says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus said. Not me, but Jesus said that the kingdom is in every one of us. Then he said to the disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go. Follow them. We're in that time, Mother. We're in the time of the do not go. You don't need to go to flash and dash churches. You don't need to go because the pastor is hip and young. And, you know, he's in my group of people. He's like me. If God says don't go, because everybody that preaches a word that you want to say, ooh, pastor, no, he preached. And you say, what scripture did it come from? And they can't tell you. You know.
Amen.
Because the word of God will stick in your spirit. You will say, ooh, pastor coming out of Luke 17. And she said, don't go. Don't go. Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Come on now. I don't believe in Jesus. Oh, I don't believe in all that religious stuff. You hear it, say it. You hear folks say, oh, no, I'm an atheist. I'm an agnostic. You know, I don't believe in all that. You know, it don't take all that. I'm sure there were folks that said that again as we go into this word, and this is what it says. But first he must suffer many things. Jesus suffered for us. He gave his life for us, as it was in the days of Noah. So it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife? Come on, what happened to her? Turned around and turned to stone. I'm sorry, turned to a pillar of salt. And they found that salt pillar. That it is out there. They found her body. Even though they try to keep that quiet, you know. We don't need to be telling folks that Bible thing is all real. It's real. They find the stuff at the bottom of the salt sea, and it's scaring them. It's scaring them when they're finding things. They're finding all kind of stuff. God is trying to reveal some things. And what they're finding is that we had some technology thousands and thousands of years ago. What happened? Think that through. God is trying to get our attention that we are not all that. We are now getting into an age where AI is the thing. We better be careful because AI can sit down and write a whole story, tell you everything, and make it sound real good. And you realize it was fake. They can take your faith and put it on a body that's not yours. Take your voice and have that faith speak it, and you have no idea that that is not the real person speaking. It is an artificial intelligent being. We better be careful. I tell y'all, y'all know me, because I keep it real. I watch sci-fi, and I watch it for a purpose and a reason. And why I do it? Because you never know what you're watching 10 years ago is your right now today. What I'm watching today may be my reality in 20 years, may be my reality in 2 years, but things are going so quick. Who would have thought? Come on now. How many times did we see movies with artificial intelligence in it, and now that's becoming our reality? How many Star Trek did you watch? Because I'm a Star Trek fan. Just finished watching Star Trek Picard and watched how they use technology to change the youth into a Borg hybrid, into a Borg hive that was getting ready to kill all the older folks who couldn't be transformed. Come on now. Using the transformer to transform. Come on. They were conforming to the Borg. Come on. And it took the old folks to get rid of the Borg queen. Come on. Hey, it's us old folks who need to be imparting the wisdom of God into our youth. And remember that what you think is, oh, that's just some old crazy stuff. Your crazy can become somebody's reality. And we need to watch everything. Don't get so caught up in my, oh, I'm so religious. Oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. You better be looking at stuff because you don't understand that God is trying to get your attention. A lot of times God will take you to something like, why am I watching this? And then something will hit you. And God will say, because I got a message in it. for you to preach.
Amen.
I got a message for you to teach, because you don't understand. All you got to do is look at some of these shows, and you will find yourself living in that reality. If we, you know, we talk about the maiden sale. There are folks that's trying to take us down that road. You better pray. There's a lot of stuff going on in the guise of religion that is not of God. And we as Christians have got to start asking God, God, is that right? Is that, that don't sound like you. That the words are, the words are right, but there's something about the spirit that's wrong. You better get a clue. Realities change every day. But when you don't know history, you can repeat it. And the word of God, Jesus said, a house divided against itself will not stand. Everybody want to attribute it to Abraham Lincoln. No, it's from Jesus. This nation, if we keep going down the road, we're going to wind up looking back and saying, how did we get here? God is trying to get our attention. COVID was a reality check. It's not gone. There's other stuff out there that we don't know about because God wants our attention. People left the house of God, churches closed because of COVID. We got to go back into the house of God. Television, ministry is not church. This is not your church. This is a show that gives you the word of God, but you need to go to church.
Amen.
You know, God put that in my spirit, says whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there will be two men in one bed. Whoa, did I just read that? There will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken, and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken, and the other left. Men will be in the field, the one will be taken and the other left. And they answered and said to him, where, Lord? So he said to them, wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. God is trying to get our attention. The question is, are you listening? Are you hearing? He loves you more than words can say. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. You are a walking, talking billboard for God. Are you showing people his goodness, his kindness, his love, his peace, his joy? Are you showing hatred and intolerance? And I'm not saying we got to be tolerant of sin, because we don't. You got to call it out. And not be ashamed to say, that's not right. But when you tell somebody that you know a man and that his name is Jesus, you might be surprised. They may decide to get to know the man that you know. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So they can come to the kingdom as well and bring it into them. And the word for Sister Carolyn this morning is this. Good morning. Don't let anyone, come on now. Was she all in the word, Mother Valerie? Don't let anyone take you off today. Be at peace. Remember, God is on your side. Have a mellow mind Monday. Thank you, Sister Carolyn. God is on your side because God is in you, because his temple is you. And I just have to say, as she said, don't let anyone set you off today. In our Proverbs, what did it say? But he was impulsive, exalts folly. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding. But he who is impulsive, exalts folly. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Don't let anyone set you off today, because why? It's folly. Be at peace, and remember, God is on your side. And what did Jesus say this morning? He said, God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here I see there, but indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it says, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. But what did Jesus tell us? When folks are talking and running here and there, and you think, ooh, that must be the place, he said to you, don't go. Don't go. Don't follow after idols. Don't follow after the next phase. Follow God and watch him work in your life. And Mother Valerie, that is what we have this morning. I have a prayer, and then it's a wrap because I got to go to work. And so it says this, it will be done. Oh, it says, I also preserved in the work on this wall, and we acquired no land. I'm sorry, I also persevered. Come on, this is Nehemiah. I also persevered in the work on the wall, acquired no land, and all my servants were gathered there for the work. Nehemiah 5:16, ESV, all-sufficient one. And I like to say, Almighty God, fill me with the courage of your love that enables me to thrive in every circumstance. Give me perseverance to follow through on what I have to do. Sometimes it seems like too much when the work is never ending and the demands are great. Give me the persistence. I need to do what I can and the grace to let go of what I can. I know that as I work day by day, projects will be finished. Other things are harder to measure, but let your grace remain the same. I know that if I will not give up, what needs to get done will be accomplished. In a go, go, go world with tons of distractions, the extremes feel personified. I ask for your grace to be faithful in my commitment and to be as diligent in letting myself rest at the end of the day. I need your help in this, Lord, feeling the pressure of work that seems never ending. And we all go through. I went through this on Friday. I had a moment where I just felt overwhelmed and made myself sick. You know, we got to be careful that we don't go, 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 and don't rest when God says rest. So thank you so much, Mother. Hopefully we can do this again on tomorrow because I'm excited to find out what Samson does next. Because Samson was, as we would say today, vernacular, a hot mess. So as we pray out this morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Come and join Mother Valerie and me again tomorrow as we move forward in the Word of God. I'm thankful, I'm grateful, I'm blessed, Mother. How are you doing? And can you let us give a word as we go out? Because it's a wrap for me.
You know, you were talking about rest. Well, God rests on the seventh day, and the seventh day is Saturday. He gives us Sabbath rest. The body can just go for so long, and then you're forced to rest. And then if you don't rest, you're going to get sick. So he wants you to rest. You can only do so much, and he don't expect you to do no more than what you can do. But on the seventh day, God said, rest. He wants you to rest. And you know what?
Amen.
It's the wrap.
Join us tomorrow as we move forward in the Word of God. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.